Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another edition of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 4, Episode 12, Hot Potato Soup. We get the return of the Kanings. And guys, there is so much fun stuff to talk about tonight. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I don't know about you guys. I just had a really good time. That
watching
was so
the show?
Much fun.
So fun.
Or did you have a good time that I wasn't here, guys? Is that what you're talking about?
No!
That was your choice.
I wish scheduling allowed us to all sit down and watch together simultaneously.
I know.
That, it is so much fun watching with a group. But speaking of a group, hello, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Tehran!
Well, yes, right. I am Tehran, literally. At I am Tehran. I say that every time because I mean it. At I am Tehran. All across Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everything.
The Thank atmosphere,
you.
Right?
Please. The social atmosphere. That's what we call it.
Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys. I'm Zach Wilson representing Agents of Doom.
Oh, my gosh.
If you've ever listened to Marvel Movie News, you'd understand why I got so excited about that dumb joke. I had a blast with this episode. This was exactly what I wanted. If you guys want to keep up with me, you can find me at that Zach Wilson.
Unfortunately, Jesse can't be here tonight. He's doing a comedy show right now. Be sure to follow him at JessKlein1 on Twitter and Instagram.
Or go see him and me and lots of other fun people at the PAC Theater, which is where he is right now.
That too. You guys put on really good shows there. It's always a good time.
No one invited me to the show. See, I feel like...
I invited everybody.
Why
You're
am I the middle
everybody.
Child here? Why am I the middle child?
You're sitting in the middle.
That's
yep,
kind of
that
true.
Is. You are Why? Physically in the middle. That's how that happened. But I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's Thegmenguin. We are also going to be keeping an eye on the live chat as well as on the hashtag ABTV Marvel. So we want to hear your guys' thoughts about the episode. But yeah, guys, how wonderful is Patton Oswalt as all of the Koenigs? Well, except for one, and we'll get to that. But, like, the first time we were introduced to Patton Oswalt being a part of this show, it was a treat. And I feel like it's been far too long since we've seen him in this show. How did you guys feel getting reintroduced to the Koenigs?
First of all, I love the Koenigs. Might be my favorite character. Definitely my favorite reoccurring character, I would say.
Yeah.
A character that comes on randomly. But such a joy just to watch the humor, the lightheartedness that
yes.
it brings. And yet it's still very pertinent to the story and the storyline. So it's fun, it's good-hearted, it's enjoyable, and still pushes along the storyline, which I enjoy a lot.
Well, what's great about the Kangs is they always come at it and, like, they spend enough time representing the fans, like, the voice of the fans. Like, from that just, like, overly geeky ridiculousness. But Patton Oswalt is such a good actor that he can then turn it to the point where he is still an actual agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, he has business to take care of, and you fully believe that both of those things exist in, I was going to say one person, but like four people. But it all exists in his roles. And that's what's so much, it's the levity that you don't, that S.H.I.E.L.D. is great for. Because you don't get that levity in, as great as like Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Jessica Jones are, they don't have that kind
There's
of
There's not a
silliness.
Koenig running around.
There's not a Koenig.
There should be, though.
There should be.
Because I would love Patton Oswalt to show up in Luke Cage season 2.
That would be
like,
great.
You're Luke Cage!
Exactly. The excitement. It's so real. Especially because he gets excited about my favorite character. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I think I would like to, when you think about like characters that you relate to in this show, I think to myself, I'm like, well, I would think that I relate to Daisy or, you know, in some capacity. But the truth is that Koenigs are like the
your spirit
the one
animal?
I relate to them the most because he's sitting here. He's like, I'm sitting with Quake, and she's like, you've known me for several years, and he's like, but you're Quake.
Yeah, but that was when you were Sky.
You're a superhero.
Now you're Quake now. It's so different. I hate that name. I love you. It's great.
Speaking of, what kind of fan fiction do you guys think exists regarding Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers within the Avengers world?
I'm pretty sure it's mostly a young, unknown Kamala Khan.
I know, right?
Getting really weird on the internet.
For those of you who don't know, Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, she was a fangirl before she became a superhero. And at one point, she meets Wolverine, and she's like, oh, my fanfiction with you was the second most upvoted on this website. And he was like, what was the first most upvoted? And she's like, oh, it was some shipping piece with Cyclops and so-and-so. And he's like, oh, I hate my life.
Hilarious.
I just love that he's like, oh, you should read some of this. Actually.
Actually, don't, because we know what kind it would really be.
Yeah.
Especially about Sky. I still call Sky forever.
It's called Slash Fiction, and it's very twisted.
And apparently, people seem to ship Quake with Black Widow. What do you guys think of that?
That's exactly what the shipping community would do.
I would love to read that. I'm just letting you
know. I am not crazy about that ship name, though. I do not like Quack.
They gotta at least extend it into Quack Widow. Like,
Quack Widow, that's a good one.
Yeah, you gotta keep... You've cut off, like, most of the name.
Yeah, this is shipping 101, guys. Amateurs. Simple. Yeah, terrible shipping name. But yeah, this is like getting reintroduced to the Koenigs is a lot of fun.
We could do better though.
Like, well, Quack Widow?
Quack Widow. I mean, if you extend it the whole way, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's
I was trying to do something with Romanov, like, but there's not much you can do with
or
that.
Or Natasha, like Natasha and Daisy. Mm. Yeah, those are hard names to mesh together. Yeah.
Nazy? Where are you going? Where is Natasha? I need to think of
something that sounds less awful than Quack. And I've got nothing right now. But talking about the Koenigs, it's really nice having this character you relate to, or that, I don't know, dumb nerdy people like me can relate to, because, like, you also forget that they are very competent spies as well. Like, we'll be introduced to them making Star Wars references, and then the next thing you know, they're knocking watchdogs over the head with pool cues. And I think probably one of my favorite bits in the entire episode was Billy saying, I'm not going to give in to torture, and then the guy leaves the room, and he's like, oh, thank God, I can't keep this up. Give me cyanide. What's happening?
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. The Koenigs are hilarious. I actually really like the part when he's like, he's watching and he's like, man, I hit the guy. And he's like, no, you're wearing the exact same thing. You're not even. I don't know why. You know when you say LOL? I literally laughed out loud at that part. It was just so fun and funny.
Like moments like that, I was literally just like jumping up and down like a little kid, like in my seat, because it was so much what I wanted.
Yeah, and like I love when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. goes dark. You know, season 2 got real dark. When bringing in Ghost Rider, things got really dark because people were getting their spines ripped out.
True.
So having that
happens every day.
In Hell's Kitchen or downtown Los Angeles, these things happen. People get their head bashed in with car doors by drug lords. It's fine. But having this sort of episode after so many lengthy bits of, you know, really dark stuff, it was very much a welcome change of pace. And we were talking last week about kind of the lack of surprise. I feel like this episode had enough surprises for us.
I really like last week's episode. But last week's episode did not have this lighthearted nature. It was very serious and filled in gaps. I was more surprised. You guys felt like it was just part what was going to happen.
Like it was paint by numbers a little bit.
I actually found it a little surprising. I found a lot of things in it surprising, or at least enjoyable. I enjoyed it because it filled in a lot of gaps. It was like the spatula of the story for this one. But this one was a very welcome change of pace and was still as filling as last week's episode. There was a lot of details in this one.
Picturing cake now.
Oh, frosting my gosh. With the
spatula. Anyway, but yeah, this. So one thing I found interesting, too, was isolating one of the Koenigs and actually sticking them in a room with Radcliffe, of all people. And it's kind of interesting that the first time we get to see the Superior is, you know, as Billy is meeting him.
Yeah, although... The show here. Okay, so
let's talk about the Superior a little bit.
So there's a little. This is a little bit behind the scenes, but I don't feel like the show is holding back. So I think it's okay to talk about, because all the press releases that they put out, the Russian guy that at the top there, he
Anton,
is he's played by Anton Ivanov, who's played by Zach McGowan. He is the Superior. They didn't really spend a lot of time addressing him that way, if they did at all. In this episode, but everything, including his like own personal like tweets and the show's like press stuff, he's the Superior. He's credited as the Superior.
But you're hoping for a twist? Like,
well,
he's not the Superior?
Because
I was hoping for a twist.
I think it has to be. I think it has to be, because they built up the Superior. That's like that's a super villain. Monica, that's like,
again,
that's
it's like the clairvoyant from season one. It's it's literally, when you're given a title instead of a name, like, there's supposed to be some significance there for one way.
And I don't mind if it's not, like, we had all kinds of crazy predictions about who the Superior could be. Like, everyone
and
from,
it turns
like,
out-
MODOK to, to, like, the thinker, or the thinker's, like, kid, like, all this stuff. But... It just, I don't mind if it's original, I just, this was nothing.
Yeah.
He's just a Russian gangster.
Exactly. The Superior is ominous sounding. And it was just like, yeah, I'm Superior. Like, whoa, no, give me something.
So I like to, I want to think that the show and the actor are both, like, playing along to drive this in, like, oh, no, he's the superior, and then it's going to be Fitz's dad out of nowhere.
Thank you. Exactly. Exactly. Who I now want to meet really bad.
We'll get to that.
You're worthless. You're nothing without me. I just need to meet this guy.
Oh, no, poor Fitz.
I know. It gives Fitz a new dimension, though.
No, that's no way to raise a kid. But, yeah, so, and he did mysteriously leave. We don't know what. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a bit. But, yeah, as far as the Superior goes, this was pretty underwhelming because, yeah, of all of the things he could have been, ultimately, he's just a guy who... doesn't like that Inhumans get superpowers because they didn't earn it. What?
Not an impressive guy, by the way. Not an impressive guy. There's nothing super impressive about him.
I mean, he definitely has muscles, and personally, I think he's very handsome.
Okay.
But...
he's like, I had to work out every day, and they get it just like going into a cocoon? Not cool, bro.
You know he's at the gym at like 5 o'clock in the morning, like doing the bench press, or standing on the elliptical, and then he sees news footage of an Inhuman who all of a sudden can then lift up an entire table, you know, above their head because they have superpowers now. And he's like, son of a... They're unnatural, and they have to go.
Where are the radioactive spiders when you need one? You know what I'm saying? It's not...
I was going to say, yeah, by that logic, literally no superhero earned it.
Exactly. Like, I walked around gamma radiation, and nothing happened to me.
You know what? He just wants to be Batman, but he doesn't have the money for it.
Yeah, the chat has some thoughts on this, because Natasha Moore... wants the Superior to be Ian Quinn all the way back from season one.
Way to bring it back around. He has motive to, like, dislike powered people because they ousted him.
I would love to see some of those characters show up again.
Yeah, like Graviton.
Like Graviton, who is literally in a refrigerator somewhere. what else was TVWOC says he described himself as a superior man, so they don't think that there's a twist, which is possible.
I am superior.
And,
Logan Ferguson says, isn't the not earning it a big Lex Luthor motivation? comparing it
I don't
to
know who that
across
is.
The aisle. No, you know, no, we can acknowledge DC. You know, they need a little.
Depending on the iteration, I always like the like 90s animated version of Lex Luthor best. I know a lot of people like the Smallville version where you really get to see him develop. But I liked the 90s cartoon one best.
Not that I acknowledge this person exists, but if I did, I would agree with you.
I mean, but that's not wrong. Like, a big thing is, like, that it's... It is
there
the
is a little power
envy not
there,
every,
yeah.
I mean, just the whole thing, like, all men are created equal. All people are supposed to start from the same place, but what if we didn't?
So this is... So let me get this straight. Not only is this a motivating factor, basically he's fighting against privilege. That's so, because that actually puts me on the side of the superior at that point. Like, he's fighting, so this is his form of fighting white privilege. Like, that's what it kind of...
But it's, I mean, yes, basically, it's sort of the... It's the why I think
privilege.
Lex Luthor is, like, even though I'm not necessarily a big Superman fan, I think Lex Luthor is one of the most perfectly written villains
sure.
in superhero lore, because he's so... If you really get into his argument, he's so even with, like, he's not wrong in what he thinks. Like, his what he does with that is wrong. Like, he gets violent and hurts a lot of people. But the idea that, like, Superman is upsetting a balance and a belief system that, like, we can... The idea that we can achieve anything is not true anymore when there's literally someone who, no question, can do anything. Many things you can never
he
do.
He can rewind time by flying around the Earth.
But yeah, you're right.
Oh my gosh, he did that 3 times, and everyone just makes
no.
a big deal.
It's just, no.
Anyway.
But yeah, you're right. There is a certain sense of, like, he's upset about privilege.
I will say it is kind of compelling that his whole thing, his whole hatred of Inhumans stems from this idea that they didn't earn it. It is... I kind of find that interesting because way back in season 2, when we were introduced to the Inhuman Society, you know, they made it very clear that if you went through the Terrigenesis process, that, like, that was a lifelong journey that you had to prove yourself worthy of that power. So it's very interesting that there's this kind of underlying sense of, like, you have to earn this privilege of having these abilities, and, you know, it's just, it's manifesting itself in different forms. The bad thing is a lot of people just didn't ask for it, you know, it just happened to them. So the idea of, like, oh, shame on you, you didn't earn it, makes no sense when you didn't ask for it or want it, or if it turns you into a door or a giant dog, why would you want that?
But, and, like, as I think Taran's pointing out, like, it's the same thing, like, people that are born into
privilege
yeah. or, like, wealthy household, like, they didn't ask for that, but they take the advantages that come with it, and so it are the Inhumans. So it's not that they are necessarily bad people, but the system is now, like, clearly and evidently rigged against a certain
but
percentage
for the
of the
most,
population.
For the most part, Inhumans, and this is what's different, is that they actually, it's not so much that privileges exist, it's the awareness of it. Mm-hmm. And then humans are very aware of their privilege with their powers, because we see it in a lot of times, with great power comes this great responsibility, and a lot of them are taking responsibility. Whether it's criminal responsibility or superhero responsibility, they're doing something with their power. It's not like some guy's like, yeah, I could cure every disease in the world, but I work at Ralph's. Like, that's not what we're seeing. And a lot of, and that's what the problem
yeah,
with a lot of privileges.
Most people have signed the Sokovia Accords, and most people are just like, I just want to go about my day.
I just want to live. And so it's interesting that the superior, who nominated this person to be the moderator of what is and what shouldn't be? Who appointed this person the moral leader of all Inhumans? That's why I need him to have a backstory where an Inhuman action killed his family.
Well,
that,
I feel
to me,
like
is
motivating. I feel like the subtext that we're getting is that he had to work for everything he has.
Sure.
You know, and that he has a preference for, you know, the old ways. And as they pointed out in the episode, he does have ties to the Russian government, who was attacked by an Inhuman, you know, when they threw Bobby and Hunter under the bus
yeah,
way back
I mean,
when.
So, Lash did represent a danger, an example of a very dangerous and very, like, wrongly motivated inhuman.
He was an inhuman serial killer, absolutely. Yeah, and who also wanted to kill inhumans. Inhumans cannot catch a break.
No breaks.
It's like, how dare you have this stuff that you didn't ask for, and now literally every group on the planet, other inhumans, the watchdogs, and the world government, most everyone wants you dead.
But it is a perfect analogy to what we're seeing in the real world, and like, we're dealing with a lot of like crazy people are hating on whole religion of people who are mostly peaceful, by far extent mostly peaceful, but it's those few loud examples that for some reason people can't go past. So like Lash is the example of like the people that no one can see past.
The fanatic.
Like, not everyone is Lash.
Yeah, exactly. And not everyone is Hellfire either. I hope he comes back at some point.
Oh my gosh.
In fairness to Hellfire, he was under a spell, I don't know, control. Magical control, whatever we want to call it.
Magical brainwashing, yeah. Science-y brainwashing. But yeah, so as a little underwhelming, as the superior is, I did think that, like, the performance was good. And, yeah, I hope we get a little bit more of an interesting backstory from him if he is indeed the superior. If he's not, I hope we get a better reveal of, like he's just the front man and it turns out there's this puppet master, you know.
I just thought you were going to say, I hope he takes his shirt off. I don't know why I thought you were going to say that.
I mean, if he did, I wouldn't complain, but... I hope he takes his shirt off and I don't know, what do you do like on a Russian submarine? Just hang it. I guess there's nothing to do but drink vodka.
There's nothing else to do.
I did love this sort of apparatus that they hook up Agent Koenig to, because to Radcliffe's credit, I really do believe, like, he's in such an interesting spot, because you can tell he has good intentions, but the lengths that he'll go to in order to achieve those goals, and again, with the Darkhold corruption going on, like, obviously there are a lot of problems there, but he actively saved Billy from getting tortured. He got to play with a puppy instead, and that sounds like a great time to me.
It seems like he is looking out for life, or he respects life in a lot of ways that I think you had actually mentioned, that maybe he just wants it for the actual scientific knowledge rather than an evil purpose.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the kind of thing where, like, the Darkhold has, like, corrupted him to a point where they're not that far apart, but he's not, like, he doesn't want it for, like, world domination. He's not a supervillain,
like,
in that sense.
You don't have to stab that guy's eye out. There's no need for that.
As a scientist, like, his whole motivation, like, we've seen him since we met him, like, is to learn the, like, how far he can push human abilities and life. Like he wanted, we first met him in a club where they augmented different, like, human body parts. Like, he wanted to push science as far as he could. There was literally a physical book that was like, hey, all the wildest, crazy things you could ever dream were impossible are in this book. So it becomes his ultimate thing that he wants to find. It's like if us as, like, entertainers, like, the perfect script is written right here,
and we're just gonna put it in this labyrinthian vault for you to
read it. You're
like,
jerk
wait,
face.
No, I need it. to get back to the Koenigs, and I feel like that's a good. I loved that their strategy was so. I did think it came back around a little bit too conveniently, that they were just passing the Darkhold around from person to person, and before Billy finally put it in the labyrinth, which is something that we've never heard about, but it's kind of cool.
Because
like to think about
the secret shield vault that only the Koenigs know about. I love that shield has built, like, entire secrecy, like, networks around the Koenigs.
Which is interesting, because again, I feel like a couple episodes ago, talking about something like this wouldn't have been possible, because the director would be like, oh no, this is the level that I'm at. I know all these things. And that's classified, and you guys can't partake in this. You'll have to fill out 3 different forms, submit them to me in triplicate, and then we'll see about getting your approval to get to the labyrinth.
The chat is asking, is the dark hole the soul gem? No. I can guarantee you, even though we don't 100% know where the soul gem is, the MCU is not going to introduce it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's just not going to be. But you never know. But no, I don't think so. But you never know. That would be amazing.
So, I don't know if you guys watched it yet, but the How It Should Have Ended did a bit for Doctor Strange today. And they point out, it's just like, oh, hey, there's an Infinity Stone just sitting here. Nobody's guarding it. Should I grab it? Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, you never know. There could be an Infinity Stone lying around anywhere. But in the course of trying to track down where the Darkhold has been sent, we get introduced to 2 other Koenigs.
The just one quick thing.
Sure thing.
The chat's also saying that the labyrinth, like that vault, was in crossover event series that they had recently called Pleasant Hill.
That's awesome!
Which is one that I, like, mostly skipped over. The event series, the big event series that Marvel's done have, after Secret Wars, I got super burned out.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot happening with Secret Wars, so I feel like it's okay to step away
and take a break.
And I love
Secret Wars, but I was just like, damn.
Too much was going on.
Yeah.
It was a lot to absorb.
I can't do every one of these.
A lot to absorb, and then they're wiping the slate, and it's like, okay, we're starting over, and you're like, I need a break.
I don't have that much money, Marvel. Damn.
Oh, yep. So, yeah, we get introduced to 2 other Koenigs. Thurston, who is a comedian at the Soul Patch. Did I see that?
Vendor
right?
Standoff, sorry.
and LT, if you remember way back when, one of the Koenigs had a little post-it note on his mirror that says, call your sister. And after all this time, we finally get a payoff for that. As LT, the Koenig sister, steps onto the scene, played by Artemis Pevdani, who she pops up in a lot of different things. But yeah, I wanted to know, what did you guys think of Thurston and LT?
I loved LT. The strong, protective, but dominating older sister.
There was a lot of crying.
The older sister who led the path, paved the way for the Koenigs to become who they are. And LT as a character was almost, if not as enjoyable, maybe sometimes a little more enjoyable than the Koenigs.
She was great.
And stop crying.
She offered a great, like, balance to the Koenigs, like, so it wasn't exactly the same. Like, I love that Patton also plays them all very similarly. She was great. nothing against her. Was I the only one disappointed that it wasn't Patton Oswalt and Trey?
Hilarious.
That would have been amazing.
It would have been so silly, and maybe wouldn't have worked.
Probably
but
not.
But it would have been so good.
I'm sure. What they should do is it should be in the blooper reel, or like they should do a separate skit, and that would be fantastic. Where Patton Oswalt dresses in drag to be LT.
We never find out what LT stands for, no?
No. I guess just, I think at one point they might have called. No, we.
Nothing, right?
She's not a lieutenant, right?
That's why I was wondering if that stood for an acronym or an actual name.
They say here she's a special agent, so she wouldn't be a lieutenant.
Yeah, we never find out what LT stands for.
Those separate ranks.
Because with the Koenigs, it could stand for something. I just pictured it standing for something silly that it's an inside joke or an inside name.
Maybe.
That stands for a characteristic rather than an actual name.
No idea. But I loved that she was the one that got them all into S.H.I.E.L.D. I love how different she was from all of them. And I love that when they're having that family moment, that she uses that as an opportunity to take a pot shot at her
exactly.
brother. And he's like, what?
He's like, I told you, never drop your guard. You know, like, always be ready. It's great.
And I liked that we got Thurston, too. He didn't add anything in terms of, like, the secret agent stuff, but he added a contrast, much like she does. does, to like somebody who chose not to make that, not to make S.H.I.E.L.D. a part of their life.
Because he's not one of the sheeple, Megan.
Man.
His shirt has no sheep. Great.
I really just wanted him to have like bongo drums, just like...
Wear a little beret.
He was doing slam poetry.
He's a beatnik.
He was doing slam poetry in a place called the Soul Patch. Like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that club was not filled to... Yeah, no, I worry about that club. Especially if they're booking people like Thurston.
Snapchats and grumpy cats.
Listen, guys, don't knock open mics, okay? You gotta put in that work to get to where you need
to be. You do. It takes a lot of hard work and a lot of practice. A lot of hours up on stage, yeah. He's just refining his craft.
Against open mics, against his set specifically.
Your set was bad.
Hater.
You should feel bad.
Because I enjoyed him. I enjoyed him a lot because of the difference he brought, and it was a form of levity. Like, don't be sheep. It was just a very timely episode.
Oh yeah, no. It was very funny. I'm gonna make fun of him for it.
Oh, and I like too that they all, like, throughout the episode, they always refer to themselves through ambiguous language of like, or like a replica, or like, oh, that's the original.
Exactly.
The one who got us into S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, where the way they're talking, you're like, are they clones? Are you robots?
All the way up to that, like, that gag at the end, which was great. They're much better now, much more real. I'd also love that S.H.I.E.L.D. was, back in the day, which means it was under Nick Fury, developing LMDs. Because Nick Fury has to have LMDs out there.
Yeah, exactly. And then they finally, like, as technicians, you didn't think they were robots, but then they never say, we're not robots.
They're a sarcastic way. They're like technicians. Like, it was very... It does make you question what the Koenigs are.
They committed to the bit, and it was great. Before we move on with the rest of the episode, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We absolutely love hearing from you guys. We love the fact that we have an international audience. It still perplexes me that it's not just us, like, talking and having a good time, that people stay up late to listen and comment on the live chat, that people comment on YouTube, and the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on is by going to iTunes and rating and leaving a comment. And if you do, you might even get a shout out on the show. Do we have any new ones this week?
Oh yeah, we got a bunch.
Ooh, goody.
Felipe245 says, this show changed my life.
What? Wow.
As a millennial, it's hard to get any of my friends to watch broadcast television. That's not untrue.
That's very true.
Even though Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is easy to get to with a digital antenna, they all refuse to watch it, and I have no one to talk about it with. Aww. Enter you guys to save the day. I keep watching the show every week so that I can listen to your great commentary and hear great Coulson's left hand,
aww,
who just retired. We found that out last week. Phil Coulson's left hand retired.
He sent us, he made a very lovely Twitter goodbye. So go check out that on Phil Coulson's left hand's Twitter, guys, because it's sad, but it was very nice of him to say goodbye.
Yeah. Best show ever, says Travis Cat Slaughter. Aww. They said Doom. Yes. I hope you always stay on the show. You are the best voice in podcasting. Oh, thank you. No, that's sweet. Thank you. This is a show that got me into podcasts, and the Menguin was the first voice I ever heard. Heart.
Oh.
So let's not make this long. Shout out to Jesse and Tehran. They butchered spelling your name, but he acknowledged it as well.
I'll take it. It's not like it's on my hat or anything.
In fairness, he also misspelled Jesse's name.
Well, people also listen to the podcast instead of watch.
Well, it's on my hat that you can't see because you're listening to the podcast.
In fairness, Travis misspelled your name, Jesse's name. It says the Manguin, and there's way too many O's that you used in Doom. It's just two. And Phil Coulson's left. Phil Coulson's left hand getting lots of shout-outs. P.S. Daisy gets more beautiful every time I see her.
I agree.
Doesn't she, though?
Hashtag
I
MCU
love
crush.
I love Sky.
That's your, man, that's it, like your MCM. Like, instead of Man Crush Monday, it's MCU Crush Monday.
Real.
Marvel
real.
Crush Monday.
I like that.
Once again, awesome show, says Michael B. 85. Thanks for always watching, Michael B.
Michael.
Question. I heard that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be broken up into 3 story arcs. This is true. Ghost Rider is 1. LMD is 2. Do you know what the third arc is going to be?
Nope.
The answer is no, we do not. Maybe I thought it'd be fun. We could
speculate
a little bit.
I think we. What happened to Nadir's brother? The brother that was in the cocoon.
We don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. So, prediction, kind of. Third story arc ties LMDs and Ghost Rider with the brother. Like, Ghost Rider comes back. No?
Okay.
I'm throwing
it out. Well, what would the title be? Because, like, that's the thing. I think they really want to break them up with, like, chapters now.
Because
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Ghost Rider, and then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., LMD.
Agents
what would the
of
third
S.H.I.E.L.D.,
one be?
Skrull Invasion.
Ghost Hauser M.D. I don't know. Okay? Something.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Oscorp.
Never gonna happen.
Wow.
I can dream.
I mean, I guess it's technically leading up to Spider-Man in July, because this show's probably gonna wrap up around May. So 2 months to say. Because there's no way that S.H.I.E.L.D.'s gonna tie directly into Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hilarious.
In May. As much as that would be awesome, it's not gonna happen.
How about you, Zach? Thoughts?
Similar to my prediction for Nadir's brother, and my prediction for every time we've had somebody with superpowers introduced on this entire show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Taskmaster.
Yes!
You're never going to give that up, are you?
No. At this point, I'm just going to keep saying it until somebody gives me a Taskmaster is just a fun... I think he's a fun villain, and I think he's exactly the type of villain who would be... He's perfectly right. He's greatly recognizable, but also is easily doable on a S.H.I.E.L.D. budget. That's why I've leaned into him as predictions, because he seems like the right guy to go to for TV.
You know what also might be good for the third chapter for this season? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, the unsung heroes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be really great. So it'd be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. interns.
TVWOC. This could be a cool one. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Midnight Suns.
Ooh.
Boom! That would be crazy.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Darkhold Redeemers.
That could be another one. Midnight Suns is a really interesting option, because there was a rumor way back earlier in the year that they had filmed a scene or a sequence with the Punisher for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was just a rumor. It was never confirmed, and like pretty much like if it was, it would have had to have been such a small cameo. Also, actually, there's no way that it would, unless they filmed it for something they had written for like the end of the season, because there's no way that when that rumor happened that it hadn't, that what the stuff that you're shooting at that time hasn't already aired.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's awesome.
Agent Lego Ghosts, I want Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Graviton.
Yeah,
we all do. We're never gonna get it.
Of course, that would be amazing. Do we have any more iTunes shoutouts?
Nope, that's it.
Well, thank you guys so much. You guys are the absolute best. Again, it warms my heart. Thank you. So yes. To kind of get back to this episode, we haven't even touched on, as Mac put it, Radbot, and his the kind of like back and forth dynamic he has with Fitz, and I love what we find out once we actually like crack open his head, and we actually get to see the quantum brain, where it's quantum science powered by magic. That is allowing this robot's, you know, body to be controlled by science magic to fire off, like, real synapses like he'd be an actual person.
It's that MCU version of magic where it is very scientific in how it's like applied to the real world, but they just use fancy words to make it. They're like, instead of like, it's a like diluted, I don't know, I was trying to come up with a magic spell, like, but they're just like, it's quantum. You just put quantum in front of it.
And it becomes science. Automatically science. But I did mention that they consulted a lot of physicists for Doctor Strange, which is, you know, what they used to sort of create, you know, that what Ada used to create this sort of quantum brain thing. So I do think it's very interesting that's, you know, that it's a fascinating way. It's something a little bit new. And we have this really great kind of back and forth conversation between Radbot and Mac about, like, what does it mean to have a soul? And it's that classic science fiction sort of dilemma whenever you have robots involved with anything. Like, when does is it actually alive? Is it actually a person? Does it have a soul? Those are all classic sci-fi things. And I liked that we finally had that conversation a little bit. And with Mac, of all people, who is both a very religious person, but also somebody who studies up on robot lore. So he's probably like, yeah, I've heard this like 6 times already. It's not going to stop me from shooting you with my axe gun.
I was like, Mac, if you shoot him without checking with Fitz, no, you go sit in lockdown, like, the brig.
Mac got hardcore in that scene, though.
Well, yeah,
You know why, yeah, though? Of course. It's because Radbot hurt Fitz's feelings.
That's why.
Pulled up, like...
Fitz Mac! I was like, we haven't had to talk about Fitz Mac in a while.
Oh, but...
Since Mac was first introduced,
When Radbot starts bringing up all these painful memories about Fitz's father, which I feel is not something we've ever really touched on.
Never.
But all of a sudden, it makes Fitz's anger at the various betrayals he's undergone all the more understandable because the central father figure that he had in his life told him he was stupid and worthless and then peaced out at age 10, you know, when he was at age 10. And then, you know, every subsequent, like, male role model, like, in the form of Ward and now Radcliffe, has, like, turned on them.
Betrayed him. He
exactly.
definitely has daddy issues that we weren't aware of.
Yeah. And again, suddenly it makes everything seem like, oh, yeah, that's why he's so unforgiving when it comes to acts of betrayal.
100%. I'm surprised he's not a stripper. It's crazy.
He used it to fuel his ambition to become a scientist, though. Like, he wouldn't be who he is if it hadn't been for his father leaving in a weird
let's
way.
Let's not commend his father for Fitz's success.
No, but we should commend Fitz for taking something that could have destroyed him and using it to fuel, you know, his quest for knowledge and ultimately becoming a really wonderful scientist. And as Gemma points out, even though he has been betrayed time and time again, he still is a very open and generous person.
Yes.
A very loving person at that, too. And that's what she likes about him. Despite the fact that he's been betrayed multiple times, he still has, you know, that basic human kindness and empathy. And, like, it hasn't destroyed him. I thought this whole little compacted little story thing where we get this backstory, it brought like a new insight to his character, and I really enjoyed it.
But I feel like it's gonna play.
Oh yeah, no.
Because why introduce it so heavy unless Fitz's dad doesn't, like,
yeah,
he comes back in the story, which gives some credence to maybe Fitz's dad is the superior or something.
If he's not the superior, I'm going to be really annoyed.
Exactly. Especially, that'd be great.
Especially, or if not the superior, then at least somebody that Radcliffe is currently in cahoots with.
Or somebody just significant to everything that's going on.
Yeah, because Radcliffe, you know, Radbot was in the middle of saying, like, I spoke, you know, we weren't friends or anything like that, but we rode the train together, we were classmates, we were studying together, and also I saw him several months ago and we talked about
he told me to tell you. You don't turn him back on and be like, what?
I know you don't need to know, Fitz, but I need to know.
I wanted to know. Even Mac was like, what'd he tell you? Like, everyone wanted to know. Everyone kind of wanted to know.
Although, again, it's interesting that after the... you know what we haven't really talked about, and I wish we had had more time before we came into the studio to go back and write down the weird Latin that all of a sudden Radbot was speaking in when they were trying to crack his code.
Well, I thought that basically what Fitz said is that was...
It's just gibberish.
Well, it was intentional gibberish. Like, Radcliffe put it there as a trick.
But this is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like... And the subtitles didn't list it as incomprehensible gibberish. They listed it as, it looked like it was in Latin. And I'm like, if it's in Latin, then what is it saying?
What does it mean?
And I didn't have enough time to go back and write down everything that was said and then run it through Google Translate. So if anybody had time on their hands and cracked that code, please let us know what it is that Radbot said.
To clarify for the chat, who is like, the superior's not old enough to be Fitz's dad. We're saying that under the assumption that the person being presented to us as the superior,
Anton is
going to be revealed to not be the superior, and it would be whoever Fitz's dad is. Fitz's dad is MODOK. I don't know. Twist.
Not to harp on it too much because we spent so much time talking about it earlier, but again, I'd be really disappointed if the superior was just a Russian gangster.
A Russian monster. Who is like, it's not fair that I don't have powers and you do.
Yeah, that's not interesting. It's kind of boring.
Joven asks, what if Fitz's dad is Radcliffe? I feel like it's safe to say
Fitz would know
if it was his dad.
No, could you imagine they walk into that club, back in season 3, and he's like, Dad? Daddy? Papa?
Papa, no. Did we feel a certain way when Gemma's like, you're obsessed, and then Fitz was like, I was investigating?
I
really enjoyed that part a lot. Maybe it's because as a guy, it's like when a girl's like calling you out on something, you're like, actually, no. Like, no, she's my cousin. And it's just like, ah. I just felt that moment when it's like, no, it's not an obsession. I'm investigating and figured it out. And then all of a sudden, Gemma went from angry to, you're my hero.
We talked about that a little bit last week. And I still called BS on it. I was like, all he had to do was say, I'm investigating it for X, Y, and Z reason, because I suspect this person, and she would have been on board. But he didn't feel the need to say that, so that it's a cheat for the audience, because it was like, oh, okay, then, ooh, I'm being sneaky over here.
The difference was, it turned into an investigation, but that wasn't where it started. So he was lying. That he lied.
Whoa, Zach, whose team are you on here, buddy? No?
Gemma's.
We're on, yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm in love with Gemma. Isn't that obvious?
So you want Hey, Gemma, Fitz is a liar. You should be dating the real Taskmaster, Zach Wilson.
Yes.
The real Taskmaster.
Because I could just see him doing science, and then I just do the science afterwards. Whatever. I did love, I wanted to talk about before we ran out of time, the whole discussion of the soul. Activated all of my favorite sci-fi, insanity. Because Robo-Rad had a very good point. We are nothing but, a wrapper of
flesh and bone. Don't make you a person. And if your soul's not connected to flesh and bone, then it has to be connected to something else. And who knows, maybe my soul is out there in the ether as well.
He's got a quantum brain from another realm. Who's to say that, when that got created, a soul wasn't infused into it? Since we don't understand what a soul is, we don't know what its limits are.
And,
well, a soul comes from consciousness. The concept from, even in the 1400s, Rene Descartes came up with, I think, therefore I am. So does Radcliffe think for his self? And if he does, then it's possible to have a soul. But if Radcliffe does not think for his self, then he would not be able to have a soul.
Yeah. The quantum brain seems like it is a copy, in a sense, or like a connected copy to actual Radcliffe, like constantly updating. Like they needed to have May connected so that it could be updating like what Robo May was doing. That sort of makes him more of like closer to like a Horcrux. In a sense. Like he's got a piece of the soul that he broke off. If he's got it at all.
Immortality!
It's, but see, the LMDs are mimicking life forms. They're not their own life forms.
Or, like, it, there's. It reminds me of a piece from the book Midnight Well of Souls, where there's like a tree type of like alien species, and at a certain point they like the way they reproduce is not that they have offspring, but they clone themselves. They break into two and then they intentionally go into different areas and live their own lives, and after a certain amount of time, like even though they started as the same person, after 5 years they're different people. So is this like it was just a clone of Radcliffe that like after a few after it spent enough time away from the original one, is its own person.
But it's still working within the parameters of the Radcliffe programming. So it's not like it can create its own programming and its own agenda and its own formula, as we saw with May. That's when I'm like, that's not a soul. So the Radcliffe was being manipulative and tried to ask a question in order to keep itself alive to complete its mission.
But now that May's completed her mission,
she wanted to stay alive.
Is she now? But is she now her own person? Because she doesn't have any pre-programmed mission
now,
constructs.
Yeah, here's the thing: is we have this big conversation about the soul, and then we also have Robo May making the point: I am the real May. I'm her memories. I'm her wants. I'm her desires. I am May.
Yes, desires. Very specific desires.
Yep.
They kiss.
But then, you know, again, at the end of this episode, they're like, oh, what an interesting philosophical conversation. Time to light them both on fire. You know, and they threw the Ada head and Radbot's head into the incinerator and just is like, well, I hope they didn't have souls because they're dead now. But they preserved May. And yeah, let's talk about Robo May in this particular episode, because talking about something that surprised me, I was surprised when she started, like, when they're in the car and she leaned in to kiss him. And then later they actually did. I was like, holy cow, they went for it. They went for it.
3 seasons and 12 episodes in. So... Three and a half seasons.
Four seasons.
No. This is the fourth season, so okay. It would be 3 total seasons plus 12 episodes. And they just kissed, but it was a robot.
It was Coulson knew it
immediately.
There's some things you can't fake.
That's so real.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was
shocked.
I think
a couple girls that I've kissed are robots, too. Now I think about it. Coulson, logic.
I feel your pain, Coulson. But yeah, they've decided to keep her around because in the event that their May is dead somewhere, they're like, this is all that's left of her, if that's the case. Now, here's the question. Once we get actual May back, what happens to Robo May?
They obviously throw her in the incinerator and just go.
They're like, oh, thank goodness.
The question is, if we don't find her for a while and they activate Robo May and they start working with Robo May, and then like they're friends with Robo May and they treat her as her own person, like you're not May, but like you're still a conscious being.
You're still an agent.
And then May shows up one day and is like, what the hell is going on here?
Coulson, you kissed Robo May? That's going to be
like, you never even kissed me.
I thought it was you. That excuse has never worked.
True. It might have worked for one of the Canids, though.
That's true.
I thought you were Billy. No, I'm Thurston.
Real quick, Canic interjection that I like. And interjection, I would like to eject this, is when LT was like enough DNA to make an army of clones. That was hilarious.
Okay. Sorry. We are running short on time.
So we gotta address the very tail piece where the person behind all this. And I'm like, I don't know. Is it like the Kree, the royal family? Like, who's behind it all?
Points out that he wants to take out the Inhumans.
Coulson.
The one who's always there whenever an event Avenger shows up, and whenever there's an inhuman crisis,
they had a little shot of him from Thor, like standing on the balcony where they're looking at the hammer. He's everywhere.
This man is dead, and yet he is everywhere. Although, I wish I could pull up the tweet and find it, but we had somebody after last week's episode, because we didn't address it, and I'm shocked and surprised at us that we didn't address it. Coulson was publicly arrested in the middle of a hearing, and he's supposed to be dead. Like, that was part of the point of having, you know, somebody else be the director.
And no one said anything.
We've had, this is like one of those things with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that we, I think, since the beginning have had to just like sort of like let go.
Yeah.
Because as much as we love Coulson and we want him to be this, like, he's had multiple situations throughout the show where obviously he was caught on camera. Obviously enough people know that he's alive. Not to mention, like, all of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s files leaked out after Winter Soldier. So there's no way all of this stuff about Coulson, who was practically running S.H.I.E.L.D. by that point.
Well, and not only that, but, like, I imagine Project Tahiti, like, all of that stuff's out there.
Like, it's just like, don't think
Although,
about it.
How funny would it be if, like, yeah, after that, all of a sudden Coulson's phone just starts blowing up with, like, from, like, Thor.
Tony! Hey, Phil.
Where you at?
Yeah, they're like, he was arrested on C-SPAN. How does Stark not know about this?
Tony Stark takes time to watch C-SPAN.
He would know if Coulson showed up. Look, again,
exactly.
Like, this is the thing. It's like, of course they would know. It's just not something that the MCU, unfortunately, can address.
Although, again, I love that the one person who's been able to piece together the common thread here is just this random guy.
Who now is not only they're inhuman, but basically he wants to be Phil Coulson, and since he's not, he wants to kill Phil Coulson. Like, that's, like, how come he gets to play with them and I don't get to play with them?
It's not fair. In Soviet Russia, we did not have superheroes. So it's going to be interesting to see, because we didn't know that was the Superior's endgame, was taking out Phil Coulson. So that, again, assuming this guy is the Superior and not a puppet for a different person
Fitz
going by Superior.
Totally a puppet.
Yep. Any other rapid fire predictions before we wrap it up for the evening?
Okay. I don't know, but I think, oh my God, why can I, tip of the tongue. The guy who doesn't have powers and injected himself.
The Patriot.
Mace.
The Patriot. Mace, man, yeah. Patriot. I feel like the Patriot dies.
Ooh, in the next one? Possibly.
I can see that. Next week looks like a lot of fun, like a big action-packed episode. We get Mace back in his Patriot armor, like fighting and like alongside Quake. Like, this looks like what we've been building to.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you by the end of next episode we'll get the true reveal of the Superior. Which is my prediction.
I like it. Well, guys, I think that just about wraps it up for the show this evening. Zach, where can people go if they want to find you?
You guys can find me on... I'm wearing sunglasses for no reason. I don't know. I felt like it. On Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Also, be sure to check out my show on the Popcorn Talk, Sci-Fi Weekly, which I host with Jesse Klein every Sunday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This week... we're going to be talking about The Space Between Us, the new Asa Butterfield movie about a kid who is born on Mars and comes back to Earth. And we're going to be joined in studio by the cinematographer to talk to us about it. So be sure to tune in on Sunday.
That's pretty big.
Tehran!
Well, here's the thing. I am Taran, but technically I am the Koenig that no one knows. I'm actually a Koenig, and I didn't want to tell you guys, but since we're like family
twist.
Now,
aww.
Just letting you know that I am Taran all across the social atmosphere. I'm the other Koenig.
They did suggest once that there were like 13 brothers.
Well, yeah. There you go. I mean, we've all watched Maury Povich.
You are the father. Don't forget to follow Jesse at JessColleen1 on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. I've also started doing a voice for a fan-made revival of The Shadow, which is on YouTube. Go check that out. Wow. I play a character named Margot Lane. Go listen to that if you want to hear me try to act. Thank you guys all so much for watching. Really looking forward to next week, and we will see you then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.